Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
This podcast is sponsored by Rode Microphones, the Australian pro audio powerhouse making incredible gear for podcasters, vloggers, filmmakers, musicians, and audio engineers.
So, Robert, what did you do today?
Really? Are you going to ask me what I did today?
Yeah.
Well, for one, I checked out the website of this amazing photographer we're going to have here shortly.
Yeah.
But you know what my highlight of the day was?
What's that?
You should know.
Yes. You got to go to Bedford's.
I did. I got to go to Bedford's.
The first day open. Woohoo.
First day open, and I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed.
Why? Oh, no bags?
Oh, no. They had lots of bags. As a matter of fact, I took pictures of bags that I want.
Saw that.
And the CFO of the house said no. Anyway, so I got there, and I got there probably 11:30-ish, maybe 11:15. I actually met John Dorsey up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he happened to be in the area, and we hooked up, went inside for a little bit, talked about bags. But I brought my guys, like, 2 dozen donuts for Krispy Kreme.
That sounds good.
They were hot.
Oh.
And I walked in, and it quickly got, like, shipped off to the back, and then I found I'm, like, the fifth person to bring them donuts today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, I know they love it. They appreciate it. Eric Williams, the store manager, sent me a text later on saying how much they appreciated it. But, God, I should have chose something different because, you know, I felt like I had a bond there, and I feel like I blew my moment.
Well, okay. Well, you learn from your mistakes.
You do. You do learn from your mistakes. It's kind of like when I go doing my calls to these commercial clients, and I feel that most of them, especially in the construction area, really love Krispy Kreme donuts. And, you know, sometimes you get there with that box of Krispy Kreme, like, hey, Mike, I just came by to stop by and see if you guys had any work for me. And, you know, that you walk through the office and everybody's got a freaking Krispy Kreme donut because somebody beat you to it.
Yep.
So it's kind of bad. So what did you do today? I know you did you go out and shoot houses today?
I did not shoot specifically houses, but I shot some neighborhoods. I had to shoot, like, entrances and playgrounds and streetscapes, like a strip of houses, you know, with, you know, I had to look hard in this particular area because they're pretty brand new and there's a lot of people home. So I tried to find no cars and no trash cans in the street. So,
To make it look.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't want to have to Photoshop them out.
Did you take the Oslo?
The Osmo. You know, I did. I mounted that thing on the front of the car, drove around. I'm excited. I can't wait to get it into the computer and play with it because that's cool. I hadn't done it but once in my life, and did it with an old Sony Handycam and suction cupped it to my side of my truck, you know, my door, and I went all the way around Lake Overholster with that on. It was on tape, so I don't know where that's at. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. I mounted it right on the nose of my car.
Well, great. Well, yeah. So I can let the listeners know that Bedford's is open for business. You can go inside. It was really packed today. I think a lot of people those guys to get open.
Yeah.
And you know, PhotoCon is still happening in July.
Yeah. I'm excited. So
that's still going. All right. So Jim, since you enunciate better than I do, you may have the honors of announcing our special guest.
Well, I'm gonna give it a shot. I looked it up. I looked up the pronunciation because it's quite the name. So here we go. And today's fashion guest, which he's got a lot of genres, but he's got some fashion too, and you won't believe when you go and look at his website. His name is, first name is Charlie. His last name is Neuschwander.
That's pretty close. Oh. I mean, look, you got it right. Yeah, I mean, that's
we got the Charlie right.
you did get the Charlie right. Yeah, good job. But no, it's you know, it's pronounced the way it sounds. I mean, I think some people get scared because they take like one glance at it and they're like, oh, I can't pronounce that. But really, if you just sound it out, it's
Neuschwander.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's what I thought of before I even looked it up. I thought Neuschwander. Okay. And then I looked it up. What's the proper way? And it was this German guy said Neuschwander. Okay.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna really get technical, I think the W is like pronounced like a V, you know, and stuff like that. It gets fancy. Maybe I should just start going by that. I don't know.
Neuschwander.
Do you correct a lot of people when they say their name, like at the DMV or whatever?
Do you what?
Do you correct people like at the DMV when they try and say your name?
No, I just say yeah, you got it.
You know, you would think mine's Treywick. It's very, very easy, but people will murder that with no problem. I'm like, Tarwick. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they'll say Tarwick all the time, and they'll get up there like Robert. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Just like, don't even try and murder it. It's okay.
Right.
My problem is when I see your name, the first thing that comes to mind is a new Schwanstein castle. Every time I see your name, it's like Charlie Neuschwanstein.
I've got a couple of beer steins that have that castle on it. So I think our family probably comes from that area. So
oh my god,
I've never done like one of those like 23andMe's or anything like that to find out. But
you know what's crazy is that's your last name and it's a German. I'm assuming it's German, right?
Yeah, and like something like that.
So is my name, but mine's just plain old Felder. That's a German name. So
is it German or is it Polish, Jim?
Well, I looked myself up and I did the whole
Germany.
I don't remember. It's German, but yeah, I found a guy. His name is James Felder. His same name, and he was on. I think he was on Flickr or something, and we kind of chatted a little bit for years ago. But that was pretty cool. He was in Germany, but anyway. So
okay, good. So let's talk about Charlie.
Yeah. So Charlie, you know, we met at an event. Oh, hold on a second. I almost killed my Roadcaster. We met at an event. I was shooting an event. And you were shooting something. I don't remember what the deal was, but we were at the what was that event center? The new one.
The Criterion.
Yes, Criterion. Yeah, that was really. Oh yeah, you were shooting headshots backstage. That's right.
Yeah, so you're talking about the Tenaciously Teal fundraiser.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Their little gala they do every year. And I was really bummed that ended up getting canceled this year. But for obvious reasons and, understandable. But, I look forward to that event every year.
Well, I follow you on Instagram, and I think I was following you even before that. But, and I'm very inspired, and I've told you before, I'm very inspired by your work. It's just I don't know what it is. It's just something, it's very, I don't know. It's just, I can't describe it. It's that something, it just inspires me. That's all I'll say.
Well, I appreciate that. I think I get asked this sometimes, like, how would you describe your work? And honestly, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of rooted in portraiture, but it's a style that kind of is more fashion-y, I guess.
Right.
I'm gonna call it that,
and that's why I wanted you to get wanted to get you on the show, because that's our theme this month, fashion. So Robert, you go ahead and ask some questions.
Well, let's start off with the standard stuff. So okay. Charlie, photography, how did you get involved in photography? I know it's a dumb question a lot of people like to ask, but you know, from a the listener standpoint, we have a lot of beginners and they want to know, how did you find this passion, this craft of photography?
Honestly, it was just kind of, I don't know if it's kind of a cliche story or not, but I went through a divorce back in 2013, and the family camera did not go with me. So for Christmas that year, my mother bought me a Canon Rebel. And I had not picked up, and I was 30 years old at this point, and I hadn't picked up like a camera in a creative sense at all up until that point. And it honestly sat on the shelf for a few months. And then later that spring, I think like 2014, I started kind of playing around with it and thought that, hey, you know, I want to learn a little bit more about this. And I kind of threw a grapevine of people. I kind of got connected to some of the Facebook groups that are out there. I started asking questions to people and basically kind of got the ball rolling of kind of a self-taught, you know, way of kind of getting into, you know, how this camera worked and you know, what I could do with it. And I realized early on that, you know, portraits were really, I was drawn to those. There's just something about the human face. I'm not going to throw any cliches at you, but I mean, I can drive in like Colorado in a on like a mountain road. I can look over at some vista and I'm like, okay, that's nice. And then I just keep driving, you know? I mean, some people would want to like stop and take a picture of that, but I'm like, okay, no, that's not really what I wanted to take a picture of, you know? Mm-hmm. But, the camera kind of showed me that, you know, there's some cool stuff you can do with it. And I really enjoyed the connection and stuff that you could develop with portraiture. And, I started studying other photographers and I was really drawn to, you know, work of certain people and others I didn't really care for and stuff like that. But, I kind of landed on what I guess you would call editorial portraiture. And I just really liked how you could make something look so raw, but it's also so polished, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I see that. I can tell.
It's
like my goal every time is to create an authentic image of somebody, no matter how set up the situation is. And that's kind of what I've kind of worked towards the last, I don't know, probably solid 3 years, is really developing that style to mm-hmm. kind of, you know, show that, you know, that's what I present to people, you know, as a, you know, I want you to think I just took a snapshot, you know, but it's obviously a setup situation.
Well, you know, I was looking at your work and I've been following you for years now, and now I'm extremely disappointed in my photography, knowing that you've been doing this as a late bloomer in your 30s, because this shit's amazing.
Thank you. I will say that it's like I shoot a lot, and even if I'm, you know, if I have a slow month or something and I don't have any clients, I'm pulling from a very small group of people that I like to do creative shoots with, either for personal projects that I'll try to publish or just to test gear, test limits, you know, test lighting situations. You know, I like to think that no matter what the situation, lighting wise, I've probably shot it 1,000 times already. So I can comfortably, you know, like if I'm on like a magazine assignment or something, I can go into almost any situation and, you know, take care of business. And I think that's important for those clients, because a lot of those clients, you know, don't have a whole lot of time. They probably have 5 minutes with you, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to fumble around with your camera and your settings and stuff. And so, I mean, I shoot as often as I can, mm-hmm. Even if it's not, you know, a client per se.
Right. But every bit of practice that you do makes you better as a photographer.
Sure.
I think a lot of new people starting out kind of fail to understand the hand-eye coordination, or that there's no second guessing after you've done a couple of million shots in your camera. You sure. know what you like, you know where to aim, you know how to adjust your camera, mm-hmm. and they expect to go from, I hate, you know, putting people in a box of mediocre or anything like that, but they go from a hobbyist just starting out shooting maybe a few hours on a Saturday for the next 6 months, and that's the only time they pick up their camera, and they expect to have this gigantic big curve in popularity, style, and experience, and it just doesn't happen that way.
No, that's not how it works. I mean, you got to know your camera, you know, without even thinking about it. And because you have to adjust, you know, because things are not going to go perfectly every time. And, you know, I have put enough hours in to where I can point my light in a certain direction. I can set it on a certain setting. I know what my camera settings are, and I know exactly what image I'm going to get out of that. And, you know, sometimes there are curveballs that are thrown at you. Like, you know, if you like a couple weeks ago, actually, I had an assignment for 405 magazine where, you know, I was to go into this dentist office and, you know, shoot a quick shot of him for, you know, this article that we were doing. And the room was small, it was dark, you know, and I was kind of picturing something a little bit more spacious, you know, because I'd never been there before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really don't have, I mean, unless you have just a ton of free time, you're probably not going to go scout that location, you know, especially for like a local magazine or anything like that. Right. Or a quick assignment like that. But, you know, so I show up, I have, you know, everything, I kind of have an idea in my mind of what I want to do, but I had to end up doing something totally different. But, you know, I felt comfortable because I had done something similar before. And that's all through that, you know, kind of practice and test shoots and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, I think that's awesome. Well, looking at your images under the fashion and beauty, you know, honestly, I gotta tell you, I don't really know exactly what I'd consider fashion, but I'm looking at these images. I can totally see these in national publications. It's a very authentic look. It's a clean process. One thing, though, that I'm looking at your images is I've been told before, like, a consistent style, like, shoot a certain way. But I'm looking at your images, and there seems to be some processing where you've processed it based on how you feel the image should look, not for it to fit in a certain trend. Am I right on that, or am I like totally off base?
No, you're going down the right track. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you study some of the, you know, big time fashion shooters, let's say like David Bellemere, you know, he has a consistent look, but the processing might be different, you know, kind of depending on the situation, you know. But you can look at an image, you can look at any of his images and say, yeah, David Bellemere shot that. And that, I think, is important when you're trying to establish yourself as a photographer. Mm-hmm. You want people to know what they're going to get from you.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you know, shoot for certain clients or any client for that matter, you know, they're going to expect results that they see, you know, and if they're seeing stuff on your website and then you shoot something that's completely opposite or whatever, you know, they may not call you back. And so, for me, the processing and stuff is more based on how I feel the viewer should, you know, view that image and feel about that image when they're looking at it, you know. And so my tones might be a little bit warmer in some, my tones might be a little cooler in others. But for the most part, the way I shoot, I think, is where you get that consistency.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these things are very well lit. I can see the processing slightly done, but it's not distracting at all from the image. You know, you just didn't slap a filter over an image and call it good. I mean, I can definitely see you've done some work in these images.
So, yeah, I mean, each image gets its own treatment. Now, if I'm working on a set of images from, you know, a particular shoot, you know, I might do some edits to one image and then just kind of basically copy that process over to the other images so that I have a set that is consistent, you know, down to the very, you know, minute settings, you know, in the editing that I do to them, you know, and that's okay, I think. Where I kind of have a pet peeve with some shooters is when you buy like a preset pack.
Oh God. Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to, it's great for time, you know, if you're shooting, if you have to deliver 500 engagement photos to a couple, and if you, you know, want to throw a preset on it and send it, that's fine. But you're going to look like the other 10,000 photographers that bought that same preset pack.
So, yeah.
I don't use preset packs. I have, in fact, I don't even save any presets on my own stuff. I mean, I have a couple of, I really only have a couple of go-to adjustments that I make in the raw process, and then I use a couple of different tools for toning in Photoshop, and that's really it. I mean, you know, in between there, I do, you know, like the skin retouching and stuff, but, you know, that's really it.
So wow. I want to take a little bit of a detour. So I wanted, okay. I've been thinking about the, I'm looking at your images and thinking. So first of all, I love the simplicity of the scene, especially on your paper backgrounds or whatever, the cloth backgrounds or whatever. I mm-hmm. love how you've arranged things very simple. I'm looking at the girl in the, amber dress. She's on a table and there's a chair and, I mean, that's awesome. It's just very, they're very simple. But also I want to point out, you're not afraid of shadows. And I am bad about that, where if an image looks dark, I tend to want to brighten it up. Where a lot of your images, like let's say on the portraits page, on the portraits tab, God, I love those images where they're kind of dark and just, you know, the light hits the face and it just falls off. And, you know, it just, there's this one where this guy's sitting on a chair it's a big scene. It's like, he's small kind of, and there's a lamp in the background and it's dark everywhere else, but he's highlighted and the lamp's there. It's just, I just love that.
Talking about the guy in the tuxedo.
Yes. Yes.
I actually took that at an event. That was a, there's like this French culinary club in town. I'm not going to pronounce their name because it's a French name, but they have a dinner. Well, they have a dinner twice a year, and this particular one was taken last spring, so about a year ago, at a French restaurant up in Edmond called Fille Maison, I think. Is how you pronounce it. Maybe I probably butchered it in the show.
I think you did great compared to us rednecks. You did fantastic.
But, so, I mean, part of, in that club brings me in and we do portraits of the members. And this was the son of one of the member couples. And I was like, bro, I mean, you've got this James Bond thing going on. Just have a seat there. Let me take a photo of you real quick. And, I adjusted the lighting and everything for that shot because I wanted to kind of get the warmth of that lamp behind him, and kind of bring the ambient light up a little bit so that I could just kind of give a kind of a snapshot feel, but you can tell that it's still set up, you know, kind of going back to that, you know, authentic drive to create an image, I guess. But, yeah, I mean that's one of my favorite shots, honestly.
I think your images also have you're processing it. They're, I don't know what the word is or what the phrase is, but they kind of have a flat look to them, whether kind mm-hmm. of I don't know what you call that, but I should know that. But anyway, I love that. I just love it. I mean, there's a picture of a guy holding a camera. He's an African-American dude, and he's got a great suit on and a hat, his blue suit, yeah. And he's just very, what do you call that kind of portrait? It's classical or kind of, I don't know, it's very cool.
Called Charlie Photo.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Charlie, let's switch gears a little bit, because we obviously love your website.
Thank you.
Well, it's not his website, it's his work.
Well, his work. Yeah. I guess his website in the sense it's representing his work. So let's go back a little bit to the fashion part.
Okay. Because
you have a tab on here called Fashion and Beauty, and I imagine that some of these have been shot directly for a client, possibly 405 Magazine. I'm sure you've worked with some other publications. When it comes to the testing and inspiration that you get as a photographer, do you normally have like a layout from the art director or a style guide? Do you work with a stylist, or is this stuff that you come up in your head? I mean, when you get to the set, do you already have an idea of what the feeling is you're going to create with whatever tone's available?
Yes.
Okay, good. Next question.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I'll back up. I'll expand a little bit. So a lot of these were shot just basically as personal work. I call it personal work, but so like you kind of said when we started this conversation was, you know, there's not like a whole lot of fashion in Oklahoma. And so there's not a whole lot of fashion clients anyway. I mean, you might be able to shoot for like a local boutique here and there and stuff like that. And there are a couple of boutiques that I, you know, work with every once in a while, but it's not, we're not shooting, you know, campaigns for like a clothing line or anything like that.
Right.
The most of my stuff, is shooting for models that are already represented by an agency. And,
okay.
Each agency kind of has a little list of like, you know, quote unquote approved photographers that they send their people to. And, you know, so I get to kind of play around with fashion on those shoots, and it's really kind of creative freedom, which is a lot of fun. I mean, now these models are my clients because, you know, they have purchased my services to do these photos for their books, you know, but there are a few in here that were personal projects. Like if you scroll down a little bit farther in the fashion and beauty, you'll see some of a girl that's wearing some really bright colored dresses. Like there's a green, she's wearing a red bottom with a white top and then yeah. like a really colorful floral.
Right.
That was a personal project that I ended up having published. And you know, when you do stuff like that, I mean, if you submit to like one of these, you know, like online fashion magazines, you're not getting paid for it really. It's really just for, you know, cloit or whatever, or clout, not cloit. That's not even a word.
I didn't know what cloit was, but
cloit's root beer.
yeah, there you go. Clout is what I meant.
Clout, yes.
So it gives you something to put like in your, you know, in your resume, I guess, like I was published in so-and-so magazine, you know, and I've done that a few times. And I don't do it a whole lot unless there's really something special that I want to shoot, because I mean, they're long days, you know, you're shooting 8 looks. It takes, you know, 6 to 8 hours to do especially if you're changing makeup with each look. But, so I only do that, you know, every so often, but there's one shot of the redhead in the dress that's standing on the staircase at the Skirvin. You know, that was for 405. That ended up being the cover photo for I think that year's December issue or something like that. I can't remember exactly which year that was. I think that was 2017. Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff, we'll see. Miles, who is actually up at the top with the Afro, that was a collaboration between me and Philip, which is actually Miles's agent. Philip is a genius when it comes to style and like wardrobe styling and stuff like that. He makes a lot of clothing. This is sort of a fashion series that we did specifically for Miles' book, because I think Miles was getting placed in like a bigger agency on one of the coasts or something. So, you know, we were kind of doing some updates on his book. That was a collaboration, you know, so, a lot of these others are just either shots that I did because I wanted to, or they were for like some of these girls or guys' books for their agency. But to kind of circle back to what you asked originally, Robert, yes, there are sometimes mood boards to follow,
uh-huh.
Especially if you're working with a team. But most of the time, because I probably shoot 10%, you know, with a team, you know, when we're doing like a specific project, the other 90% of these kind of shoots that I do, I mean, I'm doing them like I'm the driver, like I'm just kind of shooting what's in my head, and just kind of inspiration that I have, you know, either saved you know, in my brain or on my phone somewhere, or, you know, something like that. And, or ideas that I got from seeing someone else's work. And I was like, hey, you know, I want to try that. But, and so, yeah, there's a little bit of both, really.
Well, yeah, I like that. So I do want to touch on something you talked about that has come up before. Oh, am I cutting out?
No.
Oh? Maybe it's just me then. But it seems like my headphones keep cutting out. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
You hear me okay, Charlie?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe it just must be my headphones. Okay, so you brought up an interesting point just right there in the conversation about paid work. So I know this is a lot of TFPs. I mean, I've shot a lot of models for free. You know, I've got to hone my skills with these girls as they get some images from me. So what is the clarification on when you get paid as a fashion photographer or as a photographer versus when you're doing personal work? Is the personal for free, or if they come to you and approach you because of your style, it's a paid gig? How do you differentiate those paid gigs from that?
So if they come to me and they say, hey, you know, I just signed with ABC agency, they gave me a list of names, you're one of the people on the list of photographers I'm supposed to shoot with, you know, they'll usually ask, like, what are your rates, you know, blah, blah, blah. I have a little info sheet that I send to them. I mean, this kind of work, you know, you're not going to get rich off of, you know, because I mean, these people have to shoot with other photographers too. I mean, because you can't fill their book with one photographer's images, you know. I mean, that sounds nice. I wish it was that way, but I mean, but clearly, you know, they need a variety, and other photographers are going to have, you know, different ways of approaching stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to charge them what I would charge, you know, Valiance Bank, you know, for a shoot, you know, but, the fun in it is, you know, just complete freedom of what you get to, you know, shoot, really. And as long, now with a caveat, you have to deliver usable images for the agency or they're not going to continue using you.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you do have to follow some kind of standard, you know, and, you know, if you shoot senior portraits a lot and your images of these models come out looking like senior portraits, you're probably not going to get to shoot with agencies very, very long.
Yeah.
Thank you, know, you so but, much. That just explained my entire problem.
but yeah, so they'll, if they happen to contact me, you know, to set up a shoot, I usually explain, you know, my process and give them, you know, a little info sheet. And, you know, if they want to proceed in setting up a shoot, then we go from there. But, for like you mentioned trade for print shoots, I think those are still important. And, I think I mentioned earlier, I have like a small group of, people that I've worked with before, but I know that I can get certain results, you know, out of a shoot with them. And if there's something that I want to, you know, shoot either for fun or to, you know, try a new technique or try a new piece of gear or a lens or something like that, I will absolutely, I have no problem, you know, setting one up, you know, you know, one of those trusted people in my circle, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. You have a small core of trusted people you use for basically your personal projects.
I think absolutely. I think a lot of us do. And if you don't have a group of people that you, I'm talking to listeners, if you don't have at least two, one or two or more people that you can just reach out to, even if it's, you know, teenagers or you know, people in your family, you know, that are willing to get in front of the camera, you should do that. That way, you have practice, you know, personal projects that you can do. And I should practice what I preach.
Well, and you know, I think the trade for print is undervalued sometimes. Yeah. And I mean, you can underline that because, we're not just talking monetary value here. I know there's kind of a stigma attached with trade for print, And some photographers just will not get out of bed if they're not getting paid to go shoot something, you know? And I agree with that, you know, and I understand, but there's also times when you just, you need to get out and just flex your muscles a little bit and just, you know, try some new stuff. Try some light setups that maybe you wouldn't normally do and just see how it goes, you know?
Yeah, don't think of it as a charity. You're not doing a charity thing. You're helping each other, and don't even think of that. Just you're helping each other learn. You're honing your craft, and they are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I'm slow, if I don't have a whole lot going on, I will absolutely, you know, call up one of those people and say, hey, you know, I've kind of been inspired lately, you know, from, you know, this particular set of images or something. I'd love to try it out and see if I can emulate it, because I might want to use that in my own way, you know, sometime later on down the road. And, if you're still on my website by chance,
still are, don't worry about that.
If you go back to the portraits, the very first image, I think that was Tally. You see the little shadow back behind her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that image on, or I saw something similar shot like that. Where was it? Maybe I saw it on Pinterest or something, but it might have been like Leibovitz or something that had shot something like that, that had this shadow on the background, but the face was just really softly lit. It was almost like there was a skylight or something in the studio, and you know, but the face, you know, was kind of flagged off, there might have been like a little softbox or something on the face just to kind of give the face a little bit of punch, you know. But I was like, I love that, and I wanted to try it. So I tried out some of those. I tried up that setup on one of my friends, and then Tally came along. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna do this light setup for you. And you know, the images came back, and we were like, okay, that looks pretty good. So and she loved him, and I think her agency ended up using some of these too. So as long as everybody's happy with the images, it's a good day.
Yeah,
these things look great. So another thing I want to touch on is you're based out of Tulsa.
I'm in Oklahoma City.
You're in Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Why did I think you were in Tulsa? Because I was going to make the comment that I'm not from Oklahoma, so I can make the statement that I've heard for a long time that if you wanted to be artsy-fartsy, move to Tulsa. But I thought for sure you were living in Tulsa. This is amazing.
You know, Oklahoma City is having its renaissance. You know, I think its renaissance has been going on for probably the last few years, you know. I mean, I've heard other people say that too. It's not just, you know, I'm not the first person to say that, but with all the stuff that we've been doing in the food industry in Oklahoma City.
Oh God.
Yeah. The art community here is massive. You can't walk three blocks in Oklahoma City and not run into a mural, you know, and those are talented artists that do that, you know, and on my portrait page, if you go three over, that's Tim Cooper. He's a stone sculptor. And then let's see, a couple guys down, the guy sitting on the table with the little camera sitting next to him, he's a photographer. Our art community here is really strong too. And I think all of those things, you know, the food, the everything that's going on with, you know, the new businesses coming to Oklahoma City, it's a great time to be in Oklahoma City right now. And I think we're behind Tulsa still on some things, you know, like public parks and stuff like that. But we're getting there. And I think in the next like 5 to 10 years, Oklahoma City is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All these things are changing downtown are just making me so excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
personally great. Over the whole Bricktown thing. I mean, Bricktown's great. I love Bricktown. That's why I'm in Oklahoma City.
Sure.
I stuck here during 9/11, and I hung out in Oklahoma City for 2 weeks. And the low cost of living and Bricktown was just starting. I kept thinking, man, this is going to be great. You know, it's the middle of the country. Equal distance amongst all my ex-wives. I could stay here for a while. And I've been here since 2002. But, God, you know, the whole new park they have built, the new convention center. Again, like you said, the whole arts district, the way they're setting up the different neighborhoods downtown. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really revitalizing our city into a very vibrant community of that values art, be it through visual or some kind of other medium, including cooking. We have some amazing restaurants in town. So I think you're right. I think we are hitting some type of renaissance.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's a great time to be down here for sure.
Charlie, if somebody will, here's a normal question that we ask is if somebody is wanting to get into either fashion or wanting to, I guess, you know, photograph fashion-ish portraits.
Fashion-ish portraits?
Yeah. The way you shoot, I mean, you can't learn that. Okay, that's just talent. But you obviously inspire me, you know, so let's say I'm wanting to do this and tell me what to do. No. No, just what would you have to say?
What time is your studio open tomorrow and what time do I need to start sweeping the floors?
Exactly.
if someone's wanting to get into fashion, I mean, I would study the gold standard, you know, pick up some Vogue, pick up some Vanity Fair. Look at those magazines and see what those guys are doing. Another resource that I like to go to for inspiration is some of the artist agencies, some of these agencies that represent these photographers, and just kind of go through their rosters and see what kind of stuff those people are shooting, because there is some really incredible stuff out there.
That's great advice. I like that.
And, that doesn't mean, you know, I'm not looking to be represented because I would, you know, I would, well, I mean, it'd be great, you know, but I'm not actively pursuing that per se. I mean, cause I'm still kind of working towards, you know, like my kind of base clientele right now. Like I said, you know, I haven't been doing this for very long, you know, so I fully believe, you know, it takes years, you know, it's not going to happen overnight for anybody. So I'm still kind of going through that whole, like, building my base type thing. But, for fashion specifically, I mean, study some images, figure out what you like. What is it about fashion that you want to shoot? Is it because fashion is about the clothes, you know? I mean, if you really like clothing, if you like fashion, you know, the thing, you know, then you obviously like clothing, you know, and you like the style that you can do with clothing and stuff like that. And because that is essentially what fashion photography is. I mean, the model is usually secondary. That's how it's supposed to be anyway.
Speak for yourself. So, no, I'm just kidding.
But, I mean, it's, you know, study the best, you know, that's what I would suggest anyway.
So,
go ahead.
I was just going to ask, it's another tangent. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, when I started, really kind of discovering portraiture, and kind of the editorial portraiture that I kind of gravitate towards or that I really like. Austin Hargrave is a great one to follow. Annie Leibovitz obviously is a juggernaut in the industry. Patrick Demarchelier, and his son Victor, is kind of coming up in his footsteps. I mean, those are all, you know, iconic shooters, and you know, that's kind of what that's who I was studying anyway when I first started getting into this stuff. And I've never tried to copy their style per se, but I've taken a lot of inspiration from it. And I think there's a distinction. You know, you got to find your own voice. You know, you got to photograph what you like, mm-hmm. and not not be a replicate of someone else.
Right.
But, you know,
well, let me interject one second, because, you know, when we tackle fashion, and this whole month we're dedicating towards fashion. It's an interest of mine, Jim's, and a lot of the listeners out there. You know, when we try and, I guess, in a way, pigeonhole the word fashion, I think that you eloquently stated that it's about the clothes. And that is absolutely true. But I think that inside of fashion, there's different genres in where you have like lifestyle of fashion. I mean, I'm looking at your portrait website right now. Uh-huh. So if I took any of these portraits and dressed them and styled them in a name brand fashion designer, I think these could all wind up in Vanity Fair, Vogue magazine, W magazine, whatever it is you want, because it fits that lifestyle. And all you're missing is the little credits on the side of who the designer is.
Yeah.
So I think that while, you know, you look at this and, you know, you personally are gravitating more towards a very authentic portrait of the person. I think that, you know, you have one foot into that fashion area as well. And the only difference is what clothes they're wearing. So I think maybe if someone is starting out, that they could approach it maybe in that direction, create a good portrait of the person wearing those clothes. And if you change the clothes of a designer with what they're wearing, would it still hold value? And I think your image definitely do that.
Well, and I think that kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about, you know, kind of finding like your shooting style and being consistent with it. I mean, I think that, I you touched on a point. I think you're right. I mean, if you just switched out their clothing into some, you know, like if, let's see here.
Yeah, the guy that looks like Christian Sangre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you throw him in Gucci, you know, you've got yourself a fashion image. Yeah, so, like, you know, I studied fashion photographers while I was learning portraiture at the same time. Because I just, there was something about the fashion work that looked more artistic to me than just a portrait, you know? It's, you get more of a feeling from it than just a pretty picture, you know? If that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Makes sense. You've taken a documentation of what a person's likeness is, and you've brought out, you know, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I can look at these images and I can give you three or four attributes for each person there. And I may not be on point with that person exactly, mm-hmm. but that's the feeling, the image that you photograph that you're bringing out to the viewer. And I think that ultimately is a portrait versus just a documentation.
Sure. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, I mean, and I think I kind of bleed into a fashion style in the way I, you know, kind of process and shoot the image, really.
So how are you on posing? How confident are you? Is that a big part of your shooting, or is that something that you rely on the subject?
I mean, I'm pretty confident. I mean, I can kind of coach someone through a session, you know, if someone's, you know, totally green. But, you know, once you start kind of developing a reputation, then some of those more seasoned models will start coming to you and start shooting with you. And when you get someone that's a mover and knows how to work the camera, it's like magic.
It's
so much fun.
It feels like you're cheating too. Like you just clicking the button.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. I mean, you're essentially a monkey pressing a button, right. And it's like, you know, but that's how it should be, I think. You know, I mean, like,
well, for that, for fashion, like, yes.
Yeah. Leave how it's lit, you know, to me. You make the picture, mm-hmm. you know, and when you get somebody that, you know, is experienced and really is comfortable in front of the camera, I mean, that's really where that magic starts to happen.
That's right.
But, you know, and I'm completely confident building an image, though, as well. It took me a little while to kind of get to that point. But it's a lot of like, I'll do the image or I'll do the pose that I want them to do and just say, mirror me. And, you know, then we use that as like a starting point, and then we'll kind of, you know, expand off of that.
Yeah. Something that I have seen, and I know this happens with other shoots, is the first part of the shoot is just kind of getting to know each other and kind of getting comfortable. And then the better images always come up towards the end because everybody's jiving together, you know,
sure.
It's you've gotten used to it. And I mean, it'd be sad if that didn't happen for you, but that shoot just wasn't supposed to happen if that doesn't happen for you. But I've seen that time and time again where you're really moving towards the end of the shoot, and then you don't want to stop. You keep going.
Right. Yeah. And you look at the time, you're like, oh, we've been shooting for 4 hours. Yeah. So, that's a lot of fun too, because you can almost, you almost witness that breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like you get that first couple of, you know, get that first outfit out of the way, and you know, you're kind of building repertoire, you know, with your client. And it's a lot of fun once they kind of come out of their shell. Mm-hmm. once they see the images that are coming out,
right?
And then they're like, oh, okay, so that's what you meant by this or that. Mm-hmm. And once a light bulb goes off in their head, they're like, it's almost like they didn't realize they were allowed to like be themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
A lot of times the way the lighting is set up in the studio or in the scene, they're not going to see it because, you have probably done the light, using the studio lights to where it's, you know, kind of a dark look. Whereas in the room, you don't see that, you know, so once they see what the lighting does in the camera, then they're like, oh, you know, then they can see what you're trying to accomplish, you know, and they go with that. So, yeah.
And I'll, you know, if I'm making adjustments and stuff, I mean, I'll kind of tell them what I'm doing, you know, like not because I feel like they should know, but just to like help put them at ease and say like, okay, I'm adjusting this because, you know, I think it'll look better. On my part, and I'll kind of explain, you know, what the light's doing too. And I think that kind of helps them understand like, okay, so you're not fixing the light because I don't look good. You know, I'm actually adjusting the light because I think it would look better like this, you know, but,
conversation with them.
Yeah.
Have a conversation and you don't even have to, I'll talk about what I'm doing to the light if there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I make every effort, and that's very rare, but, I usually will ask questions about them, you know, get them talking, because people will open up a lot faster if they're talking about themselves. They just feel a little bit more comfortable, if they think you're interested in them. So, you know, you kind of play some little psychology games with them, you know, and just kind of, you know, it helps kind of bring them out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Okay. So, we're getting close here on our time limit, but okay, there's a couple of things I want to touch on. So in your profession as a photographer, as a creative photographer, do you have any non-photography tools that you feel like you can't live without?
An X-Acto knife.
Really?
Like a box cutter. Because have you ever tried using scissors on one of those 107-inch background papers?
Yeah.
Only once.
Yeah, once. Exactly. I have either a very sharp knife or a box cutter with me all the time.
And you just strip off the bad paper and move on?
Yeah, move on. I'm trying to think if I have any other non-photography. I mean, I think every photographer's got clips in their bag.
Yeah, everybody's got some little different knickknacks. I was just seeing if there was that. I mean, we've never had someone say a box cutter.
Or an X-Acto knife. Yeah, that's X-Acto different. Knife. Yeah.
I mean, I guess if we interviewed somebody from Detroit, that might be number one on their list.
for other reasons, maybe.
Yeah, for other reasons. But that was really good. I like that one.
I usually have some kind of pocket knife with me all the time anyway, but if I don't have like a box cutter, I've always got my little blade, you know, that I keep in my pocket. But when you need to, like, if you're, you know, zip tying wires, you know, together, you know, for safety or something, or duct tape, you know, a little knife makes everything better.
Yeah, it does.
Wow. That is excellent idea. Okay. So let's dig into the guy, Charlie.
All right.
What does Charlie do when he's not shooting?
I'm probably sitting at home, watching something on TV with my wife. I mean, we're kind of homebodies. I mean, we're both in our 30s. We've got a 2-year-old son. I've got 2 older kids from my previous marriage, but and then we have another one on the way that's actually due here in a couple weeks.
Wow! So,
congratulations!
Yeah, congrats. Thank you.
It's always fun at our house.
Okay, so what shows are you watching right now that we need to go check into?
I'm kind of slow to the whole streaming TV service, but we've kind of been liking The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
That's
honestly a great show. Honestly, at our house on any given night, it's probably the TV's probably stuck on Disney Junior. So I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, most of the time it's Puppy Dog Pals or Mickey's Mickey and the Roadster Racers or something like that. So or Nickelodeon, you know, Peppa Pig is usually on like when we're watching Nickelodeon with our son. But
wow, that's great. So you like being a dad?
I love being a dad. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Yeah, that's because awesome. There's no other guy out there that's going to go like, hey, you know, what's Charlie when he's not shooting? Oh, I like long walks on the beach with my wife and swings, you know. No, I like watching Nickelodeon with my kids. Like,
I'm wrestling with my little 2-year-old or something, you know. And then the my older son, he's 11, and he's into, like, Fortnite. And he got me into it. And so when he comes over, when he and his sister come over, we'll set aside some time to have some Fortnite battles, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is excellent. Okay. So I guess the last question that we need to leave off is when are you teaching workshops?
I've been asked if I do workshops, and I wouldn't even know where to start with the logistics of that. I mean, if I were to ever do it, it would probably start out with like one-on-ones or something. Because I mean, I used to not be like a public speaker. I mean, I'm still not, but I mean, I think now that I'm a little bit older, I probably could care less, you know, about what people like think about me and stuff. Like back in high school, I was like, man, I would not get up in front of people for anything. But, nowadays, I mean, I would probably be more comfortable talking about stuff, but, I mean, both my parents are teachers, and I was going to be a high school teacher, out of college, but I ended up going into, laboratory medicine instead. I feel like there is a part of me in there somewhere that wants to teach. I just need to work on like my delivery, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the best way to do that is like we do with our camera. We just get up there and keep doing it over and over and over again.
Sure.
He's told me that a million times.
So that is so awesome now. So listeners, thank you guys so much. Don't forget that PhotoCon is coming around the corner soon with special guest Charlie.
Yeah,
that's news to Charlie. So,
Well, maybe 2021. Then we'll get Charlie in the boat, because I think that I love the style. I love the honesty. There's an authentic voice that you have when you talk a little bit offline before we start the episode, and I think that you have a lot to offer. You know, the young photographers coming up, because I've always been a believer that, you know, it's our responsibility to care for the industry, and that always starts with how we lend a hand to the people coming into our new world and our craft. And I think that you would be an excellent advocate for that.
I appreciate that. If there was a demand there or something, or if, someone wanted to, I'm always open to questions. Anybody that wants to can shoot me a message on, Instagram or an email or something. And, I'm happy to answer, almost anything. I've never really given a whole lot of thought to like a formal, coaching or workshop platform, but, maybe in the future that'll be something that I think about.
I think that would be great for you, because I think you'd be a great you'd be easy to listen to. That's what I'm saying. It's it'd be easy to listen to and very informative.
We should probably let him get through the next child.
Let's yes. Yeah.
Oh man, I'm always working. There's going to be some time off. Obviously, but. We're kind of in that window now. In fact, I had a shoot over the weekend for a company that had been postponed due to the coronavirus, and they wanted to have it like in late May, and I was like, no, I can't do that because I'm probably going to be, having my bonding time, when you want to do this. So if you want to do it, you need to do it now.
Right.
But, it was, it's a big thing for me. Like there's going to be some time, blocked off, here in the next, week or two. And I'm always happy to, chat with people online and stuff, but, I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of stuff here in the next couple of weeks, probably.
Well, yeah. That's excellent. All right. Well, I think we did pretty good on this episode with Charlie.
Yeah.
Not even call your last name because I'll murder it. So I'm just going to call you Charlie. You're going to be one of those photographers in Oklahoma that will be known by their first name only.
Well, and I, on my Google Analytics, I'll sometimes go to see like what people are using as search words. And I see Charlie Photographer sometimes, and it's, it's pretty funny because I mean, real quick, I know you need to wrap up.
You're but good.
I knew early on that I wanted my name to be my name of my business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't want to have like, some little catchy, I wanted my name to be attached to the work.
Sure.
And I got some, raised eyebrows from that because they're like, well, nobody's going to be able to spell your name. I mean, how are they going to find you? And I said, if they want to find me, they'll find me, and it'll happen, but and my website is a mouthful. I mean, it's charlienewinchwander.com, and it's best to probably just Google it.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask Siri if she's gonna take me to your website. I'm gonna say it earlier or later.
No, go ahead now.
You'll do it now. Okay, let's see.
Yeah, do it now.
Charlie Noonschwander. There it goes. Oh, couldn't find Charlie Noonschwander in your that's because you looked at my contacts. Okay, well, we'll fix that later. But she spelled it right. Okay, well, let's wrap this thing up. Charlie, it's been incredible having you on the show, and I look forward to maybe hanging out, in person when this thing is all done and you've had your baby, and it's going to be a great rest of the year. Hopefully we'll be able to get some camera time together or something. So
yeah, sure. That'd be great.
All right.
Thank you for having me on, you guys. It's been fun. I offline earlier, I've been listening to, some of your episodes, and I've kind of gone back and listened to some previous ones too, but I always like the show. So it's been an honor for me to be on here.
Sweet.
Man, now my head's so big I can't get out of my office.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure talking with you. And we'll put all your information in show notes so our listeners can find you. What is your preferred way of contact in case our listeners do have a question?
Preferred way is probably through, email. You can find me on Instagram at charlien.photo. And I'm on Twitter, but I really don't put any photo things related on Twitter. So, but really, really Instagram or my email. I'm on Facebook too, but I, you know, Facebook's kind of, it's not a high priority of mine. So,
feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until you hit over 50, then Facebook is the way we communicate with our old people. Just FYI, you're getting there. You got 20 more years to go.
Yeah, like 13, maybe something like that. So, you know, we'll see.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Charlie. Jim, go ahead and take us on out.
All right. Well, tune in next time when we talk to, who is it, Robert? I forget. We have somebody next.
Well, she's not going to listen to the show, so I'm going to say Siobhan Williams that's who I have up on my list. I have an email queued up to send to her.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have her next week. We do have a couple of people right now that we're reaching out to trying to get it with their schedules, but I definitely want to get Siobhan Williams. I think she has a show done, Norman.
Yeah, she goes by Chevy Vision, I think, on Shelly. Instagram.
Shelly?
Is it Shelly? Shelly Vision?
That's Shelly Vision.
She's amazing. I talk to her fairly regularly. I mean, she's a great... great person. She's going to be a great person. I'm a little embarrassed that she's the one following me. So, I'll have to tip my hat, you know, to, Chevy Vision.
Okay.
All right. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube PhotoFax channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.